You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And today I'm going to share some of my personal testimony with you. We've gotten several emails over our podcast life pointing out that Jason and I have never shared our own personal testimonies and provided those for you guys while we do so many interviews with so many other people. And so today I'm going to share some of my story, how I came to Christ and how I ended up being called by the Lord into pastoral ministry. And so hopefully it'll be encouraging and joyful for you and encouragement to your faith and walk with the Lord. It definitely is one of those things where we've shared, you know, pieces of our stories over the course of many different episodes here and there. And you can obviously piece a lot of that together and come up with a full episode. But I will kind of lay out the story for you here in this episode. So Jason's out, and hopefully this will still be encouraging, even though it's just me. So in terms of my story, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom is a wonderful, godly woman. It was a single parent home. My father left the house when I was a young kid, very young. And so we grew up mostly just with a mom. I have two sisters and an adopted brother, two of them older than me and one of them younger. And so we grew up obviously going to church. We went to a wonderful church. And even though I grew up in and around the church, I really didn't understand what it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it was a problem with the church. I think the church preached the gospel, the truth of God's word, very well. Certainly preached the story of salvation, the story of God's work in humanity, the fact that we are sinful. We have broken the law of God. We have walked away from the holiness of God and done sinful things. And as a result, it incurred on ourselves the punishment, the due punishment, the just punishment of our sin, which is death, eternal separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, but God was not content to leave us in that place. And so the Father sent his Son, the source of his eternal love and delight, and to come and live as a man, fully God still, fully divine and fully man, and to go to the cross for our sins, dealing with the penalty of our sins so that we could be reconciled to the Lord and bring us justification and sanctification through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so all of that was taught well from the church that I grew up in, but unfortunately, I just didn't really get what it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I went to church all the time. I read my Bible some. I even prayed a prayer for salvation multiple times, but I was never really saved. I never really got it. In fact, one of the ways I've often told the story is to say that I've been a Christian a lot longer than I've been saved, meaning being in and around the church, being a religious person, quote unquote, and really seeking to live as a Christian lived, or as I understood it, which was just you follow some rules and you read some Bible and you go to church. But it was really a joyless thing for me. I really didn't understand the reality of my own sin. I didn't understand the work of Jesus Christ and my need for him and the personal relationship with the Lord that we can have actual relationship with God, and just really never quite got that all my growing up years. And then, of course, as you get older and you begin to go through puberty and you begin to have sexual desire and all these other things, I began to really change in my attitude towards God, you know, where I wouldn't have admitted it at the time. I wouldn't have been honest about it. But really my attitude was God is the eternal killjoy. And to a degree, I think it's fair to say that I really hated, I kind of resented God because of that. I thought he was just the celestial being up there in the sky who put down all these rules and said, here's all the fun things. You can't have any part in that. And so really, I would say my attitude towards the Lord was one of resentment. And that's really how it was into my teen years, where I just really didn't understand a personal relationship with the Lord, didn't understand and really had this negative attitude, this heart that was really negative towards God because I wanted to do sinful things. I wanted to do fleshly things. I wanted to walk in the way of the world. And to some degree, in some instances, that literally was how I was living. I was choosing to walk in a sinful way and choosing to do sinful things and not use, obviously, my design, the way that God intended. And it began for me to change when the Lord just really began to show himself to me, just really began to show who he is and what he does and what his character is like, and began to draw my heart to his. And this came in multiple different forms, one of which was the Lord really revealing to me how sinful my heart was, that really what my heart looked like. And one of the instances of this for me came in the form of, I was at church. It was a Friday night service, and a guy came into the church, and he was very dirty, had grubby clothes, was probably homeless, had, you know, just really didn't look good, really didn't smell good. And I remember thinking in my head, man, I do not want to talk to that guy. I do not want to shake hands with that guy. He's kind of gross. And it was the first time I ever remember hearing the Lord speak to me, speak to my heart. And it wasn't an audible voice that, you know, came, but it was very clearly the word of the Lord speaking to my heart. And what God said was, Jamie, your heart looks to me like that. Your heart looks to me like that. And I can still to this day remember what that guy looked like, because it was a profound moment of just recognizing, even though I had quote unquote been a good Christian boy, I had quote unquote been a good example, a good Christian, had grown up in the church, and I hadn't done a whole lot of bad things in my own mind, right? At least the way I thought of them, which was, well, I could always justify my own behavior based on other people, right? There was always people that were way worse than me or doing way worse things than me. And in comparison, I really didn't look that bad in my own mind. But that wasn't the standard of God. That is not the standard God goes by. God's standard is God's holiness. God's standard is God's righteousness. And when you recognize the truth of that, then you realize all of a sudden, wow, I am not a good person. I am not basically good. I am not able to really justify myself. I'm not able to do that sort of thing, that I really am desperately in need, that I desperately am a sinner, and I desperately need a Savior. And another step along this path that was really instrumental for me was somebody gave me a book, and the book was by Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel Churches, or that association of churches. And the book was called Why Grace Changes Everything. It's, I think, out of print now, or maybe not. Maybe it's still around. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it for a long time. But it's a book really written to people like me, people that really need to understand their own sinfulness, that, you know, maybe don't come from a background where they did a whole lot of wild and crazy sinful things, and yet still recognize that our heart before the Lord is absolute rebellion, that our sinful desires are awful. In fact, the Bible makes very clear that if I've even violated one law of God, even just one law of God, however small, I am fully, completely guilty before the Lord. And of course, in my life, in my story, it was not just one sin, it was lots of sin in lots of different forms. Obviously, like I've already talked about, you know, some sexual sin stuff in the form of pornography and masturbation and, you know, some of these other things, and to attitudes of hatred towards God and a lack of love for other people. And then, of course, everything else, you know, lying and just all those things that we did as kids growing up as sinful humans, and recognizing just the full weight of all of my sin was just so profound. And it really breaks you to recognize when my sin is so great and I so greatly need a Savior. I need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And so it wasn't a moment. It wasn't in a minute. My story is not one where I was saved at this time on this day. I think those kind of stories are really amazing and incredible. And of course, lots of people have them. But mine was much more just a slowly yielding my heart over to Christ, to the degree that I can look back and see that I clearly gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He clearly began to work in me. There was a regenerate part of me brought by the work of the Lord and led by the Holy Spirit of God, so that I began to grow and change and be transformed into the image of Christ. Now, and I think it's important to note at this point in the story that just because we've accepted Christ, it doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin anymore. I think this is a common misconception that people have, certainly in our culture, but definitely in large parts of the church as well. The expectation is as soon as you're saved, you no longer struggle. You're completely new. You're completely different. And yet, keep in mind, as long as we live in this world, as long as we are walking on this earth, we will have our sinful side, our sinful flesh, right? The Apostle Paul talks a lot about this in Romans chapter 7, where he depicts for us this battle between the desires of the flesh, the old man, the dead part of us, and the new desires that come in the form of our new regenerate self under the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And there's a war going on in the members of our body. And yet we, as we seek Christ, can change and grow and move forward. But it is one of those things where, you know, when I walk with the Lord and seek after the Lord, then He does His work in me. But if I step away from that, then I don't keep the sanctification I had up to that point. No, I revert back to my flesh, which is in hostility towards God and sinful and broken. I mean, John 15:5 brings out this point well, right? That Jesus has been talking about how He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in Him, if we remain in Him, we'll bear much fruit. Because it says in verse 5, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so I think the best way to describe it, or the way I often describe it, is sanctification is like being connected to a heart monitor. And as long as we're connected, then the Holy Spirit is doing His work in us. But if we disconnect, then we go straight to flatline. It's not that we keep whatever level of sanctification we had up till that point. And so that is the Christian journey, and certainly was my journey as well. Just because I accepted Christ didn't mean I didn't struggle with these other sinful issues that had been a part of my life, that I had brought into my life, and had to work through that by the power of Christ through the work, through His work in me, and of course the counsel of God's Word, really taking that to heart and being obedient to it, and was able to grow and change. But I will say, you know, just because even Jason and I were pastors here and we're certainly quite a ways down the road in terms of understanding and walking with the Lord than we were when we accepted Christ. We're still not perfect people. We still struggle with sin. We still have to seek the Holy Spirit every single day. Otherwise, we would fall back into more sin. And so that was kind of my basic, how I came to Christ through high school, grew more in personal relationship with the Lord, focused more time in the Word and in prayer, and, you know, really diving into faith community, really seeking to live and walk in an open and accountable way. The Lord brought some wonderful mentors, some great godly men into my life. And one of these guys, a guy named Steve, who was a mentor of mine for a long time, just really helped me seek the Lord in terms of the area of purity in my life and to help me grow and change a lot and encourage me to Christ and His Word. And so that was a big part of the story. And then, of course, I had other mentors as well, one of which is a guy named Bill, who was a pastor, and I've talked about him on this podcast, I'm sure, many, many times. Just a wonderful, godly man, and of course, a big part of my story and a big part of the godly wisdom that the Lord has provided in my life. Just a wonderful, wonderful man, and a great mentor as well. And so had the opportunity to walk with him and work with him quite a bit over the years as well. And that's kind of where, you know, my story changes a little bit in the fact that I did not have a desire for pastoral ministry or ministry of any kind. That wasn't my dream or vision or what I had hoped I would accomplish in my life or what I would be doing or any of the focus or any of that sort of stuff, and yet began to just really feel the call of God moving me away from what I had been planning and preparing to do, which was to work in elections administration, maybe even end up running for office myself someday. That was kind of my focus at the time. And I was working in the Washington State Legislature. I was 22 years old at this point. And just really began to feel God calling me to something different. And I didn't know what it was at first. And the more the Lord kind of flushed this out in me, I began to realize that God was calling me to pastoral ministry. And I was pretty reluctant about this idea. I didn't want to be a pastor. Part of it was my own history. You know, I come from a family of five generational brokenness and very broken family, very broken home. Even though we had a good home for the most part, it was still a broken home. And, you know, our life was less than ideal. And I had this perspective in my head that pastors were these special, holy people, that they were these special people that God had drawn and called, and they came from good, godly heritage, and they didn't have any issues, and they didn't struggle with sin, and they were just very much different than what I was. And another reason I didn't want to be a pastor was because of my own sin nature. I looked at myself, and I thought, man, I struggle just to be obedient to the Lord in some ways in my life, and that's not very pastoral, right? Pastors, again, are those special holy people that don't sin. They don't have those issues, and that's what I thought. Now, I will tell you, that is not how pastors are, and they're very much not like that. That was a very much misconception that I think not only me, but I think a lot of people have had that, especially those that grew up in a Christian home with Christian heritage. They have more of that perspective, thinking pastors are just these special holy people. Well, we're not. We are just regular people called by the Lord to specific purpose, as all people are called by the Lord to specific purpose. Sure, that purpose varies quite a bit person to person in terms of how the Lord calls and wills and what He plans to do with people, but still called nonetheless, and no less than anybody else, just more focused on God's Word and growing and seeking after the Lord and hopefully leading by example, leading a life that is pursuing Christ and spending time in the Word and spending time devoted to prayer and really being driven by the Holy Spirit in life and in ministry, right? One of the biggest calls of a pastor in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, it says pastors are to lead by example, right? Elders are to lead by example. So we don't ask the church to do what we ourselves do not do. And so this for me was really a challenge because I looked at myself and I thought, man, I am certainly not from that pastoral stock. I'm certainly not one of those special holy people. And yet really felt the Lord calling me to this ministry. Finally, I reached out to Bill, who was my pastor at the time, and I told him that I was wrestling with this call. I told him I felt like the Lord maybe was calling me to ministry and really asked him if that was the Lord's call for me. And his response, as I recall it, was, I don't think so. And I was like, oh man, I'm so relieved. I felt so good because I really didn't want to do it. That wasn't something I really wanted. And yet the Holy Spirit did not let up. He kept calling me, kept drawing me, kept pointing me in this direction. And so I went back to Bill a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time. And every time the answer, the response was basically the same. And finally, I had just wrestled with this for a long time. I feel like the Lord is calling me to this. I don't really want to, but I've been talking with my friends. I've been talking with my family, and everybody was affirming this call, that they had really thought this was the case. This was the call of God for my life. And finally, one day I was back in my old alma mater, a non-Christian institution. Well, it's a Catholic school, but very liberal, secular, progressive. St. Martin's University, where I went to, did my undergraduate double bachelor's at. And I was there speaking on real estate, which is the job I had switched to. I had left the legislature when I began to feel the call of God to something different in my life and was working in real estate by that point. And so I was up in my alma mater speaking on this issue, and I stopped in to see one of my professors. I stopped in to see this professor and was just there visiting while I was there. We had a good relationship. Me and most of my professors, if not all of my professors, had a really good, healthy relationship. We really got along well and enjoyed each other, even though we philosophically and, of course, politically and even theologically didn't agree and see eye to eye on things. But we were having a conversation, and I kind of shared a little bit about how I was feeling called to ministry and thinking about this and all this stuff. And that professor told me, and this was not somebody who was a believer, but told me that they had had this pool, this bet between the professors, and they were betting that I would end up going into ministry. And it was really a surprising thing for me, but really finally drove home the point. I mean, I was really amazed how God would move even in non-believers to affirm and draw what he was already affirming all the believers in my life to affirm, but now was even affirming it through those who were not yielded to the Lord at all. And so I was really amazed by that. And not long after, ended up going back to my pastor and saying, the Lord is calling me to this, and I gotta respond. And at that point, I remember him saying, oh, good, that's what I wanted to hear. He said, all the other times you had come to me, you were asking me to affirm for you what the Lord was calling you to do, which, of course, he can't do. He's not God. And so once that decision was made, once it was clear the call of the Lord, then Pastor Bill became one of the greatest allies to me in my journey towards becoming a pastor. So not long after that, that fall, I signed up for seminary, scouted out a few seminaries, and ended up going to Western Seminary, where Jason and I met, and ended up going there. And then after working in seminary for a while and continuing to work in real estate, I was asked to go work for a church for a while, for a year, as a interim, basically an interim pastor. And so I did that. And then after that, became an interim pastor for another church as well for a couple of years. And so just have been working for the Lord like that. Now here, 7 years later, been serving the Lord in all those ways. And it's been an incredible journey. And what a fun, incredible thing. And it's so cool to look back, you know, and think, man, this was something my heart desperately did not want. And yet now here I am, can't imagine doing anything different. So it's just incredible what the Lord does in us as we seek after Him. And so I'd encourage, you know, if you're listening to this testimony and you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would definitely encourage you to do that, because there is just an incredible fullness of God's design, of God's glory, that He is willing to reveal in us, in our lives, as we seek after Him and bring about that reconciliation with Himself, drawing us to God and bringing us back in line with the design that God has for us, which is our ultimate good, and then ultimately for God's glory as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.